Good afternoon, everybody. Here we are in a new Link Online interview. Today we have a very special guest. It's Dr. Marc Ribot from Barcelona, Spain. He's a professor of interventional neurology and he's working at the Valdebron Hospital. So thank you, Dr. Marc, for being with us today.
And my pleasure.
Today we are with me, Dr. Daniel Vela Duarte. He's from the United States. He's working now in Miami at the Cleveland Clinic in Indian River. He has a new job there. So he's starting the interventional neurology department in that clinic. So welcome, Daniel. He's going to be asking questions to Marc today.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. And of course, to have such a guest like Dr. Ribot to talk about the trial, his trial.
So, first of all, thank you for the kind disposition for accepting the interview, Dr. Ribot. And we're going to talk today about this very important paper that you have recently published at the JAMA Neurology. It's called the Direct to Angiography Suite Without Stopping for Computed Tomography Imaging for Patients with Acute Stroke, a Randomized Clinical Trial. So our first question is, can you explain us what the trial is about, please?
Sure. So for the last, I would say, 5 years, we started to transfer some patients directly to the angiosuite, patients with high suspicions of large vessel occlusion within a short time frame after symptoms onset. We're going to discuss this in more detail, but basically the reason to perform this trial was to acquire definitive evidence about the efficacy of this workflow and the safety. And we believe that that could only be done with a randomized trial to try to convince more people to adopt this strategy.
In your work, you have there was a tendency for some parameters, for example, there was a more dramatic recovery or better 24-hour NIH and more MRS, less than 2 at 90 days in the direct to angiosuite group. But there was a tendency, not significant. So this was because of the numbers. You think it's going to be, you have more numbers?
So Rodrigo, let me take one step back here and explain a little bit what we did. Basically, what we did is on admission just on admission before on the doorstep of the ER, once we confirmed an NIH greater than 10, within 6 hours from onset, we don't believe direct transfer to angiosuite after 6 hours might have such a benefit or an impact. So if these conditions were satisfied, obviously if the team was there and the angiosuite immediately available, then we randomized the patient. It didn't take time. We had the informed consent was waived so we could get it the next day. Then the patient was transferred either directly to the angiosuite where a cone beam CT could exclude an hemorrhage and we could confirm the large vessel occlusion either with a cone beam CTA or directly with the angiogram. And the other arm was the conventional workflow in which the patient was brought directly to the conventional CT. Now, so you understand that the conventional arm was still very, very efficient because the door to groin time that we observed in the conventional arm was only 44 minutes, which I believe is quite efficient. And we could do that because in those patients, the whole team was available and everything went very fast. On the other hand, the other arm, the direct to angiosuite, the median door to groin time was 18 minutes, which still we are reducing by 6 minutes the workflow. And now it's all about the impact of these 30 minutes that we're reducing here, and as you say, we after recruiting 174 patients in the study, we observed that there was a trend toward better short-term outcomes. However, our primary outcome, pre-specified primary outcome, was the disability the shift analysis of the ranking score, yeah, in the distribution of the MRS, and that was significant. The odds ratio was 2 favoring the direct transfer to the angiosuite. So I mean, these 30 minutes that we could reduce in the workflow time, together with another source of benefit that I'm going to mention right now, made that we prove that it is safe and effective to take our patients under these conditions that I mentioned directly to the angio suite. Now, also, what is the other possible source of benefit by taking the patients directly to the angio suite? So we observed that among the patients that went initially to the conventional imaging, among those who had a large vessel occlusion confirmed, 87% underwent a thrombectomy. So in some of them, we decided that probably because the aspect score was too low, that to withhold the thrombectomy. On the other arm, after assessment with the CONBEAM CT and observing the occlusion, we treated 100% of these patients in which an occlusion was observed. Probably some of them also had low aspect score, but since they were already in the angio suite and we were there ready to treat them, we were more prone to treat them, and 100% of them received treatment. So I mean that probably we're going to find out in the next months or year that endovascular treatment in those patients with quite low aspects is still beneficial, and probably this is also a source of benefit in our case.
Mark, so over almost 400 patients were eligible, and about 174, as you said, were randomized. And of course, the trial was positive. The adjusted odds ratio is significant. And so that data takes us to consider: do we need a larger trial to reconfirm these data? Do we need to, for example, include more centers and then say, well, we are reproducing our same data, our same results in a multi-center study with similar characteristics, with similar workflow. What's your take on that?
So if you ask me, I'm convinced, and I don't need to, and I wouldn't need additional evidence, but also I need to acknowledge that I am lucky to work in a very large center with a very large stroke unit in terms of neurologists. We are 11 neurologists dedicated just to stroke. We have we are 5 interventionalists. We can coordinate ourselves very well, and probably it's easier to perform this kind of workflows under these conditions. Now, if we want to get this done everywhere or in other centers that might be less well prepared in terms of at least of manpower, I think yes, it's a good idea, and we are doing this right now to perform a multicentric international study in which we can confirm that the strategy is effective in other regions with other kinds of EMS, like in your region where there are several EMS providers, where you have a smaller stroke unit group, let's say, or other conditions, and this is can still be done. So this is why we started a couple of months ago this multi-centric international study that we call WITRAS, together with Raul Nogueira, and we pretend to replicate the AngioCAT study in over almost 400 patients and get final confirmation about the results and the efficacy.
Thank you. So this is great to know that. So there is an ongoing trial to replicate, because I personally gather a little bit of anxiety from other neurointerventionalists in terms of these results. And I do remember Raul confirming that, like back in March at the International Stroke Conference, that this type of a study should be carried out only in primary stroke centers and comprehensive, well, actually no, in comprehensive stroke centers, not in primary stroke centers, or only in thrombectomy capable centers. And so that's very important to understand that this is a trial that cannot be everywhere. And again, the availability of the team has to be confirmed before taking the risk to take a patient directly to the room.
Well, Daniel, so, I completely agree. So let's now imagine the direct transfer to angio suite, the bulk of the benefit comes from the reduction in the workflow time. And if you want to achieve door to groin times for around 15 minutes, 18 minutes, let's say below 30 minutes on average, you need a high degree of coordination. And this can only be done in high volume centers in which you repeat the process many times per week, let's say. If you just do that once every month, you're not gonna get to this efficiency in the workflow time. And therefore, you're not gonna have such a benefit.
Because of this workflow that you're telling us, it's wonderful how fast you can be and then function the grind. So do we need in the future, or are you thinking a 24/7 shift of intervention early in the hospital? So do we have to live in? We have to live in the hospital.
That doesn't sound very good for us, right? Now, I guess eventually we will have to find ways to still have a life and be able to achieve competitive workflow times. But at least during daytime, when you are there, when the team is there, see, that would be the first step. If you can do it, so there's no reason you should do it always, or either always or never. You can start when it's still feasible, convenient, and progressively. So our aim is to progressively increase the rate of patients that undergo this workflow. And to do that, we are acquiring a second AngioSuite dedicated just for these cases. And once we will have this dedicated AngioSuite, we'll be able to, every time we have concomitant neuro cases, we will still have an AngioSuite where we can take these patients. And then we need to find some hybrid solutions in which the patient during the night can go straight to that room. Maybe somebody can initiate the groin puncture while the team arrives. So obviously we need to find an equilibrium that makes our life still possible, and we are benefiting our patients.
Of course.
Mark, do you, one of the, I will say, controversial points of the study was the unclear benefit of this strategy in large core infarcts, or like large core LVO cases, if you wanna call it like that. So what's gonna happen to the future in this next, in the ongoing trial that you're collaborating with Dr. Nogueira as well, to address and reassess these patients with maybe a lower aspect on it or higher core volumes?
Okay, so no, but I think that these patients, the what we call the fast recruiters, mm-hmm. those are those who benefit most from this time reduction. If you're a slow recruiter, this 30 minutes gain will not have an impact. If you're a fast recruiter, this is where exactly 30 minutes can completely make the difference in your outcome. Now, those large core, usually there are fast recruiters. We just need to prove with the ongoing trial, there are five ongoing trials that are exploring the benefits of endovascular treatment in large cores. If this is finally confirmed that the vascular treatment is efficient in large core, we don't need. Yeah, that's another reason to perform direct transfer to AngioSuite. You don't need fancy imaging. You just need to rule out a hemorrhage, to rule out a very large infarct that is already visible and established, and that you can do with a Convim CT. And I didn't mention it, but to perform direct transfer to AngioSuite, you need, I would say, decent or good quality Convim CT. If your Convim CT is a few years old, probably the quality might not be sufficient. But most of the vendors at this stage, the most recent versions of the AngioSuite, they allow to acquire high quality Convim CTs in which you can perfectly distinguish an ICH that's causing an NIH greater than 10. You can see established infarcts. You can differentiate the great white matter. So since the quality of the imaging is improving more and more, we're going to be able to perform these strategies around the world.
That's great. Great point too.
So Mark, you as you said, you think it's not worthy the use of complementary convincing images, like for example perfusion like or cerebral volume like images for over selection or selection. Finally,
so I think to date you don't need a CT perfusion in the 6 hours, in the 0 to 6 hours window, either when you go through conventional imaging. It shouldn't be a reason to exclude patients. So I don't think it's needed when you go directly to the angiosuite. Again, we are only taking there, or I'm advocating to take only patients in the early time window. Again, patients with more than 6 hours, if he is a fast progressor, it wouldn't make a difference, the 30 minutes. He has probably a very large infarct. If he's a slow progressor, after 6 hours, then another 30 minutes difference wouldn't not make such of a difference either. So especially, I think the benefit will impact in the earlier time window in those fast progressors. Since we don't know in advance who is a fast progressor or a slow progressor, so anybody that comes in the early time window should undergo the direct transfer to angiosuite. Beyond the 6 hours, you probably can just have the time to acquire all the images you want, the CT perfusion, an MRI, even if you prefer. But that's another subgroup of patients, I think.
Important points as well. So the targeted population essentially would be within that 6 hours of onset symptoms, and we'll be bypassing the time that it's needed to get advanced imaging like perfusion, which in under 6 hours, you know, many comments, many opinions confirm that it's probably not needed. So great points too. Rodrigo, do you have a last question, I believe?
Well, Mark, you have the patients that came to the direct to angio. There's a 15% of cases that finally didn't want to thrombectomy because of the hemorrhage or no large vessel occlusion. Is there a problem with that for the team or the workflow? It's the patient that are discharged. What happened with that?
No, yeah. Again, here is why you need to educate your team. They need to understand there's gonna be probably a 25% additional number of patients that come to the angiosuite. It's gonna stress them. Most, all of them, all these 25% will just come in, you perform a convincing CT, there is an hemorrhage, you take them right away out. You don't need to prepare the patient just to acquire the convincing CT. You put the patient on the table, you perform the CT. If there's no hemorrhage, then you start the preparation. If there is a hemorrhage, you take it out. It's gonna take 5-10 minutes max. So they need to understand this. This is the price you pay in order to get that benefit. In life, you know, everything has a price. And if we want, and we know that, right? We want to achieve door-to-groin times below 20 minutes. Yeah, you pay this little price. I think it's an affordable price that you take into the angiosuite an additional 20-25% of patients that will go out without the thrombectomy.
And we don't know, for example, if that 15% we might actually increase in the future if TNK or tenecteplase is used in those cases.
Yeah, that would be exactly. That would be for the transfers that got TNK at the primary stroke center. And it's very possible that if TNK is in fact more effective, in recanalizing, in early recanalization, we will have, but also we'll have probably more clinical improvements, and those patients, many of those patients that recanalized will also improve clinically. So again, we establish this filter, the stroke neurologist evaluates the patient. If the NIH is below 10, then you don't, you stop and you don't go directly to the angiosuite. So yeah, it might be true, as you say, that TNK will shift somehow these rates of patients that are not elective for thrombectomy.
Well, Mark, thank you very much. And Rodrigo, I'll let you close, but it's been quite a pleasure to, you know, discuss these very important points and a brief but enriching discussion with you today. And of course, always learning from you and from your group and from your publication. So thank you very much.
Thanks for letting me explain our work and our point of view, and I hope we can progressively convince many of you, and we are going to be performing more and more direct to angiosuite protocols. Thanks.
No, thank you, Mark. Thank you for your time. Thank you for showing us your experience, and we are happy to have you here at the Lincoln Line. So thank you very much, and goodbye.
Okay, see you soon.